When the young unmarried Carl Schells lost his job working for Chicago Western Electric in 1930, the prospects for the future didn't look good. A Bavarian immigrant with a strong accent and only a high school education, he had few choices. He could stand in long lines with the hundreds of other unemployed men hoping to find some menial work. He could depend on the charity of others and line up at the soup kitchens, or depend on the generosity of relatives. Schells chose none of those. Instead, he packed all his belongings in a Model T he had purchased for $20 and drove to the Wisconsin North Woods. As Schells recounted in his autobiography, A Trapper's Legacy, The Tales of a 20th Century Trapper, his dream was to make a living from the land somewhere in the cutover of northern Wisconsin. Possessing no logging, farming, or wood skills, Schells was the typical greenhorn. But what Schells lacked in skill, he more than made up for with ambition and a willingness to work hard. He took a job working on the Wolf River Minkin Fur Farm. He worked only for room and board, oatmeal for breakfast every day, and an old steel cot to sleep on. After 2 years of hard work, it was time to move on. The winter of 1933 would be the first on his own. Schells purchased a few foothold traps from the Montgomery Ward catalog. At the time, trapping was one of the few ways to earn hard cash in the North. When weasels brought up to 50 cents each, muskrats averaged 65 cents, and a mink might fetch as much as $7. Schells knew practically nothing about trapping, but he learned quickly, and by spring he had taken 18 muskrats, a few weasels, and 2 mink. The fur was shipped to Montgomery Ward for sale. With the hard cash made from fur trapping, he ordered a Remington 2520 from the Ward's catalog, his first real gun. This was always considered a violator's gun, wrote Schells. It had all the firepower needed, but the main thing was it didn't make a lot of noise. Much of Schells' fur trapping activity was illegal. Due to low numbers of fur bears, trapping was highly regulated. But times were hard, and people did what they could to earn cash or put food on the table, legal or illegal. By his second winter of trapping, Schells had acquired many more traps, including the larger No. 4 Newhouse, a trap big enough for beaver. Schells' trapping skills developed quickly, but skill in avoiding the law lagged behind. It was probably another outlaw trapper who reported Schells to the game warden. Eventually, he got caught with illegal muskrat pelts and spent almost a month in the Oneida County Jail. At the same time, Schells was developing a passion for fur trapping that the law couldn't stop. To be sure, a large part of the lure was the money that could be made, but trapping was becoming something more than a simple quest for economic security. If anything can get in your blood, he wrote, it is trapping. Winter beaver trapping was strictly illegal, but it was the beaver pelts that could really bring in some hard cash, even more than mink. Beaver trapping was a game of cat and mouse between the trapper and the conservation warden, but Schells soon learned how to play it expertly. Outlaws like Schells trapped deep in the forest, far from roads and towns, and stayed out in the woods for weeks at a time. Schells wrote, at one time the warden waited 12 days for me to come out as they heard I was in there. In 1937, Schells' quest for beaver fur was taken to a new level. He headed to northern Minnesota to establish a logging camp on the Gunflint Trail, but the venture wasn't profitable, leaving Schells bankrupt and alone. Schells would have returned to Wisconsin if it hadn't been his love of beaver trapping. The forest owner also was an outlaw beaver trapper, and he took Schells deep into the wilderness on a winter trapping expedition. It was an experience that almost killed him several times. Schells had come a long way since 1930, but trapping in the unforgiving Superior Country was a new game. The trappers packed 50 miles into the wilderness, each carrying an 80-pound pack. Shortly after making base camp, Schells' feet and legs became painfully inflamed. The result of boots laced too tight, and he was unable to walk for days. To compound the problem, he also developed snow blindness with painful, raw eyes. Schells' partner was not sympathetic. But retreat was not in Schells' nature. Instead, he struck out on his own, an incredible decision since he had no map and had never trapped the country before. He made his own camp, a thin tent held against a natural rock wall that reflected heat, with balsam boughs to cover the ground. Shells recovered and trapped many beaver from his camp, but when it came time to leave the wilderness with his beaver pelts, Shells again faced a life-or-death situation. He was 50 miles from his cabin and had only a memory in his head of a map he had seen that showed the canoe route he needed to find. Temperatures dropped to 30 below and colder as he walked in the direction he felt would take him home. Approaching the outlet of a lake, he fell through the ice, snowshoes on his feet and heavy pack on his back. Luckily, the water was shallow, and he was able to chop his way to shore with a hatchet. A quickly made fire and some dry clothes saved his life. For the next 2 days, he fought hunger, extreme cold, and weariness. Near total collapse, Shells hit the main road at about midnight on the fourth day of travel. The Minnesota experience was a trial that solidified his passion for trapping. As he later wrote, "Trapping became the backbone of my life, no matter how complicated it got." Shells returned to Wisconsin and eventually settled near Eagle River, married, and built a successful lumber business. But he continued to trap throughout his life until he died in 1996 at the age of 90. For WXPR, I'm Bob Wilging with History Afield.